back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. As I await my guest, Mr. Joseph Hanneman, I have a friend of mine who is on the line, who I'm really happy and excited to bring to you, none other than Mr. Jerry McLaughlin. Hey, Jerry, how you doing, my friend?
It's a pleasure, Earl.
You know, Jerry, you may not know this, but I began the show saying I was going to make sure that, well, I see Mr. Hanneman is calling. He's on the line. So, Jerry, you and I will talk soon.
God bless you, sir.
You too. Thank you. Good morning, Mr. Hanneman. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. You are a reporter with the Epoch Times, amongst other things.
That is correct, sir.
And so we are going to have a conversation, a dialogue about January 6th.
You bet.
Let me ask you, sir. You think that January 6th, do you think it was real? Oh, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about January 6th?
Yeah, it was real in many ways. It's just the reality hasn't necessarily been shown to the American public, that a narrative has grown up around it that, you know, certain segments of the political spectrum want to put forth. And I think the American people have been denied a real honest look at it. And a lot of the details that, you know, we show in our documentary are things that have been hidden, de-emphasized, censored in a lot of cases. And people just have not had a chance to see the full picture.
You know, sir, I said before the beginning of my show that I was going to make sure that I stayed calm and I was not going to blow a gasket, but what are you talking about? I'm sorry. So tell us a little bit about the perspective that you see this, that some of us, even though our lying eyes, we saw something else. What did you see that we didn't see?
Well, there was an awful lot of excessive use of force by the police that really did not get exposed in what.
Sir, are you okay? I'm sorry. Go ahead. I want to hear you out. Go ahead.
That the public did not see. It was largely ignored in the legacy media. That, you know, tactics were used on this. What was, up until the grenades started dropping, was a peaceful group of people, and it turned into something else after some sustained attacks on this group, using tactics that really had no strategic purpose other than to take a couple whacks at the hornet's nest.
You are a reporter, and you use the term grenade. What kind of grenades were used?
Well, there were several types used. They were dispersion grenades, which are filled with small rubber or plastic pellets. And in some cases, they've also got smoke or gas in the canister as well. So when they explode, they are designed to be used
to disperse crowds, right?
Right, to set people to flight, and also to irritate their eyes and their throat. And the idea being, you would experience this and you would take off for the horizon. But so, that is not what happened.
So you are not trying to tell those of us who witnessed what we did with our own eyes that this was a peaceful gathering of people who came there with peace on their minds and wanted to have a peaceful march. Is that's not what you're trying to tell us, is it?
think that's exactly what happened up to a certain point. That was a peaceful gathering, and people came to hear the president and moved over to the Capitol to make their voices known. And through actions of the police and some well-placed provocateurs, it turned into something very different. And you know that something is what the American public has not had an adequate look at, in my view, and that's what we tried to cover in this documentary.
You know, Mr. Hanneman, what is so unbelievable to me is when we watched Black Lives Matter or Antifa gatherings and did not see, well, I shouldn't say, there were times when people certainly got out of hand, but the same tactics were used on them that are used on any crowd that gets out of control. And so there aren't people saying that they use these tactics. That is what the only tactics that can be used to bring an out of control group of people at least back into control. What other methods could, excuse me, as outnumbered as they were, could they have used? Well, I mean, what would you suggest?
What they should have done, according to the experts that we spoke with, was to form a skirmish line and to push out against the crowd and then to pull people in that did not disperse and strip cuff them and arrest them, rather than just have this giant group that was pinned in between a concrete wall in the back and police line established with bicycle racks on the front. It was like shooting fish in a barrel. And strategically, that made no sense. There was nowhere for these folks to go, and there was no effort to communicate that, hey, this is what we want you to do, so we're going to push you out. That it wasn't even really a tactic necessarily, but it was improper use of force, and it caused a tremendous amount of anger and a lot of injuries as well. Whereas if the effort had been across the Capitol to disperse the crowd and move them off the grounds, that it would have looked a whole lot different than it did.
So, Mr. Hanneman, clearly you are aware of all of the weaponry that this crowd brought to this so-called peaceful rally. They were armed. They were heavily armed with military weaponry. We saw it with our own eyes. If this was supposedly a peaceful gathering, can you explain to me in this listening audience why these people brought all those arms to a peaceful gathering?
Well, I'm not aware of military arms being brought.
Well, AR-15s are military arms.
Yeah, and there were no AR-15s seized from anyone. There was no.
I know, but they brought them. We're not questioning whether they were seized or not. The police were outmanned.
I don't know where you're getting your information.
My own eyes.
That's a fallacy that there were AR-15s strapped around people's shoulders, either at the Ellipse or at the Capitol. So, I mean, this has been part of the problem, that that was a narrative that was put out by the January 6th committee, and there's just simply not any truth to it. Now, there were people that brought clubs and bats and other.
So why did they bring those? Why did they bring those if it was a peaceful march?
Clearly, there were lots of people involved there that didn't want it to be peaceful, and that's exactly what provocateurs accomplished over at the Capitol, was to smash windows, was to attack people, was to go up to police lines and try to bait the police into reacting. So, that was a strategy used. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, so how is it acceptable? No, I'm saying, how is it palatable to those of us who, when the gatherings of Antifa Well, Black Lives Matter, and people say that there were provocateurs, and there were people who came in who were planted, who created this unrest, and that's dismissed. But somehow we are supposed to believe that that was the case in this situation.
Well, I don't know if it was dismissed, it shouldn't have been. I mean, these tactics are not acceptable, no matter who they're being aimed at. If you're aiming, a kinetic impact weapon at somebody's head or their chest, that shouldn't happen in any case, no matter what the subject is. So, I don't take issue at all with what you're saying there.
Go ahead, sir. Go ahead.
No, that's all right.
I've watched a lot of the footage, an awful lot of it over the year or more, that when this took place, many of us have seen up close footage. And it's hard for me to believe that you want us to believe that it was only a handful of people who were rushing the Capitol and overwhelming the guards. There's no question, sir, that these guards were severely outnumbered. The police were severely outnumbered. When you look at who was trying to push back and who was trying to prevent this onrush of humanity that was forcing itself into the Capitol building.
Well, I think that's an incomplete look at things. There were people that were let into the Capitol, and there was some very poor planning that day by police and the powers that be that should have secured the Capitol, knowing that there was going to be a large protest that day.
Mr. Hanman, can you hang on a second while we go to a break?
Sure.
Thank you very much. On the line, Mr. Joseph Hanman. He's a reporter with the Epoch Times. We'll be back. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Joseph Hanneman. He is a reporter with the Epoch Times, amongst other things. Very well accomplished, very accomplished reporter. And we're talking about what happened on January 6th as a documentary, I guess. Did you help write this documentary?
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Did you help write the documentary?
I did. I co-wrote the script with Josh Phillip, who's one of our Epic TV hosts.
Let me put it this way. This gathering was to protest, and this march on Washington was to protest the outcome of the election. Is that what this was about?
People came to Washington that day at the invitation of President Trump. But, yes, election fraud was certainly a big part of what was on people's minds that day.
Even though there had been no proof of election fraud, that many people came without having any proof to back up what had been called election fraud because Donald Trump asked them to come.
Well, I guess I don't agree with the notion that there is no proof. I don't think you would have found that many people coming to Washington if they did not see proof of election fraud and go there that day to express their concerns where the Electoral College votes were being counted. So, I don't think this was simply an invitation from Donald Trump that drew, hundreds of thousands of people to Washington.
Well, let me ask you this question then. Hindsight being 2020, now that we found out that on almost every level, every challenge to the voting irregularities have come back, even through Republicans, that they don't agree that there was any widespread voter irregularities. Even to this day, you still believe, you and others, that there were enough voter irregularities that would overturn the election. I mean, today.
No courts have ever held an evidentiary hearing on the evidence that was brought forth. And you really didn't need widespread funny business to affect the outcome of the election. And I think that was what was operative in the minds of a lot of people that went there that day, feeling that this was not an issue that was being taken seriously, and it really has carried forth even through today, where you see things going on in Arizona, and we have seen some here in Wisconsin still challenging how things were counted. And
sir, I have to say to you, with all honesty, you can't respond. The government can't respond to the way people feel. And so people were there because they felt a certain way. None of that was ever proven. They felt that way. And so when do we as a society start accepting or responding to people based on how they feel?
I guess, again, I don't share your assessment that this was about people's feelings. I don't think that would have drawn that many people there if this was just some sort of, large group of deluded people that people felt that they had seen enough to convince them that there were problems that needed to be addressed. And that was the goal, is to go and ask for redress of grievances. I think that's what set up the dynamics that you ended up seeing at the Capitol that day.
I'll just tell you honestly, sir, these are excuses for people who were lawless, people who thought that they had this supreme ultimate power and that they were going to force the United States government to hear their grievance, and they were going to hear it then and there, and not through the proper channels that others have to go through. And so they came there to force this on our government. Now, if they were right and righteous in what it was they were doing, then they would have done like all the rest, or the majority of the rest of us, who will go through the proper channels. Instead, they went to force themselves and their views and beliefs on those who were at the Capitol. And to be quite frank with you, the dishonesty about what took place there, people rummaging throughout the entire Capitol looking for selected senators and congresspeople and a vice president of the United States to hang, and you disavow all of those different things, sir.
You're being very dishonest in your characterization. Did you even watch the documentary?
I didn't watch.
Not have,
sir. I didn't watch.
What you are describing is not what's in the film.
Sir, I didn't watch.
I would urge you to watch the documentary before you.
Sir, let me say this.
Some sort of a
I didn't watch your documentary, but I watched the other documentaries that have been put together, and I don't think your documentary can show any different video footage.
Footage. You're being exceptionally dishonest in your. You didn't watch it, yet you're proclaiming judgment on it.
So let me. Can you hang on a second? Can you hang on a second?
I'm done with you. Okay?
Well, that's fine, sir. And let me say this to you.
You go watch the documentary.
I'm not going to watch your documentary now. I'm not going to watch your.
You don't want to be exposed to.
Sir, I'm not going to watch your documentary now. I would have, but the fact that you would dismiss the other documentaries, video footage that we saw, that somehow something you put together would show different video footage than that. Gotta go. Thank you very much for the call.
I feel like falling in love.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text me at that same number. You know, the guest I just had on, Mr. Joseph Hanneman, who has written a documentary about the January 6th riots, he said they were false. And he's a reporter with the Epoch Times. I just had on, and you know, I'm glad I began the show by saying I was going to chill out, and this is the new Earl. I'm going back to the guy I was before, not losing my composure, and the old Earl would have been going tit for tat with him, but you're not going to tell me that what I saw, all the different documentaries I've seen, that he's got one that shows a different, you know, reality than what I've seen. Okay? All of us have seen that. And so I remain composed. And he basically said I was a liar.
Yeah, like, you know, no, he just got upset and started saying that you're dishonest. And it's like, I mean, it's on him to go and promote this documentary that he made, right? Like, you go on someone's show and then you, just because they're giving the point that you, like, he understands the politics that you have, I would imagine, before coming on the station. And so
I knew what his were.
Not being able to handle this agreement is like, that's not going to get people to believe in you. It's totally not going to get anyone to watch your documentary.
But
I just thought it's like they take these political narratives, right, so personally, because at the end of the day, it's like what you said, like they're basing off what they feel should be the case,
yes,
not on what actually is true. Because of their loyalty to this specific person.
You know, our phone lines are open, by the way, at 844-967-2789. Hey, Gene, what's going on, man? How you doing?
You know, I appreciate you having the tenacity to go toe-to-toe and not lose your composure over some idiot. Given his opinion that way. I was out in Arizona, which is ground zero for QAnon.
Right.
I had one too. I held a conversation with one too, and in spite of my feelings, I held my composure because I said, you know what? I'm talking to a complete idiot. So therefore, I don't need to get in the gutter with this person. But look, why don't these people, they're so dumb that every senator, every House representative, every state senator, every state governor was on the same ballot as Joe Biden. So if he's illegal, so are they.
you know, Gene, you know, there's no question that what you just said is 100% true. But help me understand. All I said to the gentleman was that these people made threats to congressmen and senators and threats to hang Mike Pence, the vice president. Where did I lie?
You didn't lie.
He said that's all. He said that didn't happen.
Turn the table a little bit. If these had been Black Lives Matter,
I know you and I know.
If these had been intelligent people, we'd still be picking bodies up off the Capitol ground. So I'm saying over there, how do these people who owns everything have the audacity to be as angry as they are?
Yeah, you know
they own everything, and everything they own, some of it they lied, cheated, and stole to get it.
You know, Gene. You saw the footage. I've seen the footage. He somehow is telling me that he's got different footage that's going to show something different than all the video footage that all of us have seen?
Well, you know, the devil did that in the Garden of Eden, tried to show them something that was not, that they didn't see what they felt.
Right.
So I'm saying it is, yes, you done got your hand caught in the cookie jar. Yes, you want to give this spin, but the whole world, not only us, Germany, the Ukraine, all European, all over the world saw these Republicans go up there, and then they said, you can't cut your arm off and say it's not you. This was the arm of the Republican Party, summoned there by Donald Trump. They went up there and they desecrated the White House, and now they want you to say, well, Earl, you didn't see what you saw.
Well, you know, Gene, they were thugs and hoodlums.
Super predators.
Yeah, that's who they were. And so you can't. Why is it that somehow they want to sanitize that? You know, it can't be sanitized. We've seen it. And so he's talking about the commission that has been put together. The last time I checked, Gene, they're Republicans and a neocon, Liz Cheney, of all people, a neocon. Who said that what took place was unacceptable and a threat to democracy? So what did they do to a neocon, one of the most conservative of all Republicans? They got rid of her.
Yes, and see, that's a downright shame. But see, the thing of it is, were they trying to leave this country, Earl? The thing of it is, they need to understand one thing. It will never happen. It will never happen. They really talk about blood in the street. Listen, I was a Vietnam veteran, and I've seen a lot of those people who were gung-ho, carried rifles and all that kind of stuff in Mississippi, Louisiana, and Alabama, and talking about what they do. But when they got over there and them Viet Cong started shooting back, guess what? I found out they were nothing but a bunch of cowards. So I'm saying over there, yes, some people might die. This Lindsey Graham talking about blood in the street. If he wants blood in the street, guess what? Some of his people going to die. If he don't, how can these lunatics lead us back down that path?
Well, you know, Gene, you talked about, you know, and where you're from, Mississippi, and all those things. We're not going back. Forget what Donald Trump is talking about and what these other people are talking about. We're not going back to those times, you know, because those times were not right. They were unjust.
Well, the slogan is Make America Great.
Again.
Make America Great for who? Because in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, America was not great for me. It was not great
for me.
So I'm saying of it is. So I'm saying of it is, I'm not going back to that.
Well, you know, Gene, and there are a whole lot of other folk who aren't going back either. And so therein lies this dilemma, Gene, as I was talking about earlier, and what Joe Biden is going to be talking about this evening. There is an inherent danger inside of this country, and there are people who keep pushing towards this collision, right? The country is on a collision course, and it's on a collision course because of people like my last guest, who in the face of facts and truth want to deny that.
The devil has never wanted the truth.
Yeah.
The devil has never acknowledged the truth. The truth is not part of the devil's vocabulary nor lifestyle.
You know,
so,
Gene,
I don't expect these devil worshipers is to ever accept the truth.
Well, you know,
even,
Gene.
Even at the peril of that death.
You know, Gene. These people claim to be patriots. These people. Now, you fought in Vietnam. You put your life on the line. You are a patriot. This is my point. You are a patriot. But we've got folk running around who've never done anything in that way, and they call themselves patriots, right? The true patriots are the people who put their lives on the line for this country. It's not the people who run around with their guns that they have and their ammunition that they bought, and because they wear, you know, fatigues, military fatigues, and bulletproof vests, that somehow they are the patriots. The devil they are. The patriots based on what? Only in their minds. And so that we have to get them and push back, Gene, which is what I do on a daily basis.
And I appreciate you for that.
Well, you know, Gene, I push back, and I'm going to continue to push back. And I'm going to continue, Gene, to have guests like that on. My guest the next hour is the Director of Operations for the Gun Owners of America. I know they're on the right side of things. But, you know, we got to have them on and have dialogue on how they think it makes sense for everybody to own all of these weapons and all of this ammunition, right?
Well, you should hear their side of the story, even though it doesn't make sense, you still need to hear it. So I applaud you for that, because, you know, there are some stations around this town. They screen.
Yeah, they call us.
They screen their calling so tight, somebody like me couldn't get on that show. So I'm saying of it is, I applaud you for that, because the point of it is, you know, you are all around with how you handle this show. And that's why I listen often, even when I'm out of town, I listen. So I'm saying over there, you get a cross-section of constituencies calling in, and that is good. The other radio station doesn't do that. It's all one-sided. I talked with a gentleman, and when he finally got down to it, he said, I don't listen to the news. And then when we kept on talking, I kept on priming him, he said, well, you know, I only listen to Fox News.
Yes.
Yes. So I'm saying over here, you get an award view of what America looks like. So when you step outside your door and you have a distorted view of what America looks like, so now you get angry.
You know, Gene, man, it's always good hearing from you. I know that gentleman, I didn't expect. Hey, man, he's a reporter. He's an accomplished guy in the media. But to lose his composure, I never raised my voice. I never did any of those things. And yet he lost his composure. And because he demanded, well, did you see my film? Well, I don't need to see a film that you have fabricated, because you are telling me that you got some different footage than the rest of all that footage that's out there. And you can't have.
We love the police, and they beat the crap out of the police up there.
Yes.
We love law and order, but now they setting up to kill judges and
FBI agents.
And FBI agents. So I'm saying over there, these people are criminal by nature, and the point of it is every time they open their mouth, they show it. So, you know, I don't think nothing else of it, but they are total criminals. And the point of it is, if you give them a platform long enough, they'll open their mouth and they will expose themselves as the true cutlass. As they say, they will expose their underbelly.
Hey, Gene, and their master is the number one criminal. Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call, man. I really appreciate it.
Listen, just keep up the good work. Keep your composure. These people are not worth it.
All right, man. Thank you. Really appreciate it. So we got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open, as always, at 844-967-2789. You know what, Connor? I like the Earl. This Earl, right?
Like I said, I do too.
All right. Okay. So I'm going to work on it. You tune in to the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Boy, girl, we're gonna grow up tonight. Take flight, blinding light. Yes. Cuff it up, cuff it up, cuff it up. Bet you you'll see stars. Bet you you'll go far. Bet you you'll levitate. Bet you you'll be done.
Everybody get up. Yeah.
We're gonna grow up tonight.
9-6-7-27-89. All right, let's go to the phone lines. And Mike from West Bend. Hey, good morning, Mike. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, sir. I listen to your program quite a bit. I'm a very conservative Republican, fiscally and more socially liberal, but I consider myself a true Republican, and I can tell you the guests that you had on, them people are nuts. And all the evidence is in front of you, and it's so frustrating because you turn on the TV and you have the MSNBC nuts, and then you have the Fox News nuts, and it seems like the country has lost common sense. But I enjoy your show, and I wanted to tell you that I think we may not agree a lot politically on things, because I don't think Biden's good fiscally for the country. However, that being said, common sense and getting along with your fellow man is the most important thing.
You know, Mike, I really appreciate that. And, you know, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a member of any party. And I think being right about things, and right's not red, is not blue, it's not Christian, it's not Muslim, it's not male, it's not female, and so, you know, it's not rich, it's not poor, but we all are here on this planet at the same time, Mike. We got to figure out a way to make it work. And that last, and that guy, you saw what you saw, I saw what I saw. And for him to say that he's got something different in a documentary that he put together that is somehow going to give us a different perspective on what we saw, come on, man. You know, there is no different. There's no way he could get any different footage from all the different footage that has been shown, right? And so I wouldn't have pushed back if he hadn't said he's got some footage that's different. But they've shown it from all different angles. We know what that was. And
well, you know, if I, not to interrupt you, if I was in charge, and if I was in charge, and yourself and many other people of common sense, it never would have got to that riot, because I would have had the National Guard and I would have had the Capitol Police ready, and there's a lot of people that were in charge that failed. But it happened, and it's right there on TV. And I'm sorry, but the dumbest, if you are a pro-Trumper, that's the worst thing that ever happened to Trump. Because they said he is sunk right now. They're all sunk, because you can just see it. You can see the hate. And you see it from the left on theirs when they riot and stuff. People have to learn to be kind and respectful and listen to each other.
You know, Mike, I you don't realize how much I appreciate hearing from you, and because that clearly is what's missing, and that is the only way we're going to be able to work through the times that we are in right now, when there are people who are looking to destroy this nation. And so what we are is Americans, right?
Yeah.
I mean, first and foremost, if somebody came here from outside of this nation and created a war against our nation, what would we do? Democrats and Republicans would come together and they would say, we've got to do this. This is our country. So why can't we do it? Because it's the right thing to do. There has to be a future for the country. And the only way the country can have a future is for our children and grandchildren, man, is if we work together.
Correct. God bless you.
Hey, man, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it, man. I do appreciate that. And it's good to know.
All right, sir.
Thank you. That there's some people up in West Bend who are taking the time out to listen. Listen, I know, as I said before, all we're asking clearly is that that there are differing views. People see things through a different prism. But it's the nation would be a lot better off if we were able to work together. And I know it's a difficult thing. But let me put it from this, also from this perspective. Not only is it important that we work together from the perspective of us being Americans, but we have to work together from the perspective of us being human beings. You know, to continue to prepare all of, you know, for war with fellow human beings who need the same air to breathe that we do, whose bodies are composed of 60% water. The people in China, in Russia, they're no different than we are. We live on the same planet. We need the same things in order to thrive and survive. We're human beings. And the fact that we are so separated and can't accept that as the number one common denominator, you know, we all eat, sleep, we're all born, we're all going to die. So what happens in the interim, in between the time we're born and we die, is universal to all of us. We need to sleep. We need to drink water. We need food to eat. You know, it doesn't matter what language you're speaking. You're communicating. You're human beings. We need air to breathe. So, yeah, that's what we are going to do. But in the meantime, you're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We're going to be going to a break. You can join us at 844-967-2789. You know something about that smooth music, man?
Smooth music.
Yeah, you know, it's really groovy, man. It's groovy. All right. I think we have to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Hey, Connor, you got a glass of wine in there, man?
No, I don't, Earl. I'm sorry.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Catch that the next time.
Yeah, get it the next time.
All right. We'll be back.